What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Rookies. This episode is with Dave Haber, the front snake player for the Trade My Gun Outlaws. Dave has been in the pro league for about a year and a half now, known for his aggressive style of play, and one of the more standout players on the Outlaws squad, I would say. We talk about Dave's background, his military experience, UFOs, a little bit about video games, a little bit about paintball, variety of things. Shout out to all of our sponsors, Die, Valken, Level Up, Columbus Level, Ninja, New Balance. Appreciate all of you guys helping us out. And I hope everyone enjoys this episode. Please welcome Dave Haber. Dave, we're live. What's going on, man?
Hey, how's it going? Good. Good. How you doing?
Doing good, dude. Thanks for coming on. Happy to have you here.
Yeah, once again, thanks for having me. It's a privilege listening to a few of your podcasts. They're pretty cool, so I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, no problem, dude. So, first question. The Pentagon this week just released confirmation that UFOs are real. You're a Marine for 4 years. What's your take on that?
I don't know. I remember seeing this video. It was a while ago. I've seen this video floating around Facebook and some other sites, and like, especially coming from like Navy footage. I think it was some Navy footage. Kind of interesting stuff. Especially listening to like pilots talk about it. So I don't know. Like especially what I did. So I did air defense. Okay. So we looked at like surveillance. We looked at radar and surveillance, watching aircraft in the sky. So looking at stuff that like moves that quickly, like you don't see that like every day. So it's definitely interesting. I'm not really sure what to think about it, especially like Pentagon releasing it. Definitely poses a lot more questions than answers now.
Yeah. So you're an intelligence guy. So that video, I believe, was from Captain Dave Faber, a pilot. So when you were doing intelligence, did you see any UFOs in your time, or like, is that all classified?
No, can't talk about that. No, we didn't see that much. We didn't really see a whole lot of UFOs. So we'd watch big portions of airspace with like a long distance radar. So we'd see all sorts of stuff flying around. We had some pretty nice radar systems. We might like catch like birds and other random stuff, depending on the situation. But you know, we get a lot of UAVs and things like that. Definitely nothing that moved that fast.
Okay. Gotcha. So are you a believer working in the military intelligence for 4 years? Obviously, you're a smart guy. Are you a believer in UFOs now that the Pentagon has said this, or are you still skeptical on it?
Still a little skeptical. I think it'd be cool to believe. I'm still a little skeptical.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. And I know now you're over at Amazon. So with all this craziness going on in the world, Amazon seems to be slammed. How are things over there for you right now?
Yeah, it's been crazy. Been one of like the main companies that's been keeping, you know, supplies going out. Things have been just nonstop for the last, basically since this COVID stuff started. So like we've been making changes every day. We've been sending people all over the place hiring, you know, especially when this first came out, they started hiring I think it was in the news that they're hiring like 100,000 people nationwide. Yeah. So we got a ton of that as well. So we were doing tons of hiring, and then, you know, with everything going on in the news, about Amazon. Amazon's always front page of the news for some reason.
100%.
So, yeah. So all that stuff, that PR and like employee relations side, like I think when we're actually working at the site, like we're going over all that stuff, making changes on the daily basis. Work's been nonstop for the last, you know, 2 months. It's been crazy, changes every day. With a lot of good stuff that's going on. Amazon's doing a lot of really good things, making sure people out in the world are getting supplies that they need. So as much as like the media hating on Amazon, I know I work for them, so I got to talk good. But yeah. they're doing a lot of good stuff out there. So a lot of people, you know, people that are coming to work, working really hard, making sure things are getting out.
Yeah, and I know that my friend Matt Doyle works there as well. He's worked in a couple different locations. I don't know if you know him. He's not a paintball guy.
I don't think I know him.
Yeah, he's out in California now, but he was also a Marine for 4 years before he went to Ohio State. They seem to hire military personnel. Do you work with a lot of military people there? Like in terms of their leadership, I would say is what it, from an outside looking in, do you find that to be true, or what's it like working there?
Yeah. Amazon definitely prefers hiring military. So anybody's listening, if you're military, getting in or thinking about a job afterwards, Amazon's a great place. Definitely they like military backgrounds. So I know obviously I am. And then, when I first got hired on to my site initially, it was probably like two or three of us manager-wise out of maybe 10 or 12. And then over the last couple of years, it's probably gone from like, you know, 20%, 30% to about 50, 60% of total leaderships had military experience. So they really definitely take it. Yeah, they definitely like it. And they take it. If you got that background, you're looking for a job, it's a pretty good place.
Do you think that's because, like, from what I hear about working at Amazon, it's like a difficult work environment? They want people that are like strong-willed, who can work long hours, who can, you know, lead large groups of people. Because I would imagine, I don't know exactly what you do, but you oversee like a large staff in a warehouse, like logistical distribution environment, right?
Yeah, I'll go over what I do. So when I first got there, I actually was working in a return center. So I don't know if anybody's ever shopped or you've ever shopped online on Amazon and gone to like the used stuff. The Amazon warehouse.
Okay.
I don't know if you've looked at that before.
I haven't. I'm not a big online shopper, to be honest.
Okay. But if you go on Amazon and you check out Amazon warehouse, you can get some cool deals on stuff that's been like previously used or returned. It's not perfect condition. So things that get returned, I was running the department that would basically give that stuff like a second look over and see if we can sell it for used quality. So every time you look on Amazon warehouse, that's the stuff that went through my department and we checked over and made sure it's going out. And then like, probably it's not brand new, but it's good enough that we can sell it for a discount and you guys still get some great quality products. So that's what I was doing there. And then I moved to a different department, basically just handling the inbound volume that's coming in and just sending it back to vendors. So all the sellers on Amazon, when their products get returned, we make sure their stuff gets back to them. So that's what I'm doing right now.
Okay. Gotcha. So I know you were out on like the East Coast and I think that's when I met you. I met you at the Trade My Gun tryout. It was a year after Asylum folded and we were at Asylum trying out, but you weren't living in Indiana at that time, right? You were living somewhere else.
Yeah. I was living in New Bern, North Carolina. So if anybody's familiar with that area of the state, it's about 2 miles north, not 2 miles, 2 hours north of Wilmington, about an hour north of Jacksonville, North Carolina. So it's a nice area, actually, right near the water. So actually, North Carolina's a pretty cool state.
Yeah. And were you commuting to like Indiana to play with Trade My Gun at that time? Or what were you doing before TMG?
Yeah. So before TMG, I actually took like a big break from paintball. I played like, you know, just like in high school and whatnot, just at a local field. And then I got a job at one of the fields there. The guy who owns it, his wife was a substitute teacher. And one day I was like, I asked her like, hey, do you guys need any work at the field? And she just gave me her husband's number, hit him up, got a job during high school working at one of the fields. And then that was like 2000, maybe 2000, like six, 2007. I was in high school.
Wait, hold on. So you got a job at a paintball park before you'd ever played paintball?
I was playing like off and on, like just football stuff.
I was going to say, that is abnormal.
Yeah, no, I was playing just like woods ball stuff with your friends. And it was like, hey, cool. I could maybe work at a paintball field. It's like the dream for like a high school kid.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
So it was awesome. I was making like, I was making a lot of money, but it was just cool being around paintball every weekend. I was just loving it. So I did that. And then moving into college, I kind of got, you know, with some of the guys at the field, they were kind of getting into the speedball stuff. So I got into college and got on like I went to UMass Amherst, got on the NCP.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. So,
dude, I'm in Boston right now.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Yeah. That's where I live. I've been living in Boston for about a year, seven months.
So that's about where I'm from, that area.
Did not know that. That's cool.
Yeah. From Norwell, Massachusetts. So it's like 20 minutes south of Boston, right near Hanover, Situate, Braintree area.
Okay.
So I went to school and then I played about a year, year and a half in college through NCPA. And then the team kind of fell apart. A lot of the guys that were originally there moved on, graduated, and nobody really kept the college program going. We didn't have
any
fun.
Of those guys, any like the Upton guys or anyone that anyone would know, like in the pro circuit? No.
No, nobody.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah. So we did that for like a year and then I pretty much, you know, that fell apart. And I pretty much just left paintball after that around 2009. And I didn't even probably touch a paintball gun until I joined the military after college in 2012, went to training. And then from like 2012, 2013 until I got stationed in North Carolina, probably at the end of 2013, I was there for a few years. I didn't really do any paintball. Then around 2015, I was like, I just need something to do. So I gave my mom a call. I was like, hey, can you ship all my paintball stuff down here? I still had some old stuff. And then she sent it down like in around 2015. So I took like a 6 year break of even like looking at paintball or even touching a paintball gun. And that's when I kind of got back into it. Just down at one of the local fields in near Jacksonville.
So what kind of gun did she ship you? Was it like a Tippmann, something old school? A 6 year break from the early 2000s to 2015 is, you know, could be anything.
Yeah, so I originally had an old I don't know if you remember them. It was an Infinity Legend.
I know. I don't know what that looks like.
Yeah, it was like an old style poppet gun. Yeah, it actually shot really nice. And then some, I think, I actually ended up getting stolen. But yeah, I ended up getting that
Oh,
shipped
shit, that
down. But I
sucks.
actually had a really old school SFT shocker as well.
Those were cool.
Yeah, I think,
Shoebox cracker.
yeah, those things are pretty sweet. So I had one of those, and then I ended up buying an LV1 probably a little bit later after that. And that thing, those things are awesome. But yeah, I
Dude,
ended up.
LV1s are sick. I've been looking on Nation, or not Nation, that's people don't sell things there anymore. I've been looking at Facebook a lot recently just because I'm
Yeah.
quarantined. So I'm spending a lot of time trolling the
Yeah.
BSTs. And there are a lot of really cool LV1s out there, man. If
Yeah.
I was playing like not a sponsored player and I could just have a gun, it would probably be like an original LV1 because I feel like they look and they shoot pretty cool. I mean,
Dude, it shot so nice. It's one of those guns I kind of regret like getting rid of because it just shot so good. But times I had to do some need some stuff for money, so I ended up getting rid of it.
yeah.
But yeah, those are sweet guns.
Yeah, they're awesome. Eclipse has a great platform there. So then how did you get back into the competitive scene?
Yeah, so because I was in college, like the last thing I did was basically playing. It was like five man against EPA five man stuff. And that's kind of like what I was into at the time. So I came when I came down to North Carolina. There's a local field in Jacksonville,
Okay.
and I just drove down there and messaged, like met some of the guys. And there was a local team, Carolina Snapback, at the time.
Carolina
And do you remember them?
Snapback. No, I don't, but that's a hilarious name. You talk like the snapback hats?
Yeah, I think that's what it was
That's
from.
great.
Yeah, so hit those guys up. And they ended up just trying out making like did the D5 team. They had some like three man events going on, so I just met some of the guys at the field and ended up playing some like local three man stuff, just getting back into it, and then just playing like a regional series, the Eastern Paintball League. They got a series up on the East Coast, so I ended up
Okay.
jumping in some of those like five man events. And that's kind of how it started. I was about 2015, just playing D5, just with the local guys there, and then just each year kind of moving up.
Thanks. You moved up pretty quickly because probably in
Yeah.
2017, then you were playing semi-pro, right? Maybe
Yeah,
like
so
end of 2016, beginning of 2017.
2015, I played entire season of D5 just in regional events. We actually did pretty well. I think we won a couple events.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool. Even if you win, like, doesn't matter what league division you're playing, winning's always fun.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah. And I think then next year, end up basically pretty much sticking with the same guys and started out playing D4 with the same crew on Snapback. And then halfway through the year, actually most closer to the end of the year, one of the coaches from Energy Elite actually messaged me, Troy. He saw me playing. He's like, "Hey, why don't you come try out for our D3 team?" And so I ended up doing that and playing World Cup with Energy Elite in D3 in 2016. And then moving to 2017, I think they kind of disbanded the D3 team a little bit and moved a few guys up to play D2. So beginning of 2017, I ended up playing D2 with Energy, and then I think I might have played the first event and second event. I can't remember exactly. I know I missed an event with them.
Yeah.
I had some just disagreements the way things were running. So I ended up leaving the team after that. I think I just missed an event, or I played the next event with just like a random squad.
Yeah.
And then after that, I was talking with because John Kurzawa, so he lived in North Carolina. He was a dentist in the Navy, so he was down stationed at Camp Lejeune.
Okay.
So I met him at the field, and I know he was, he's on Trade My Gun and whatnot,
Yeah,
and he
he's living in Akron right now. Kurzawa is
yeah.
actually, or the Cleveland Akron area.
Yeah. So he was down there. That's actually how I met him. But he was going out. He was driving out to Indiana, and I think he was pulling a few other guys that he had met in the North Carolina with him. So
Yeah.
he had one weekend. He just had me come out. Like, "Hey, just come out to Trade My Gun. Just play for a weekend with us. See how it goes. Meet Jeremy. Meet some of the guys." So I did that, and then ended up playing with the D2 team for basically the remainder of that year. And that was 2017. So I played with the D2 team in Outlaws for the rest of that year, and then that's probably a couple events. And then 2018, D2 team basically moved up to D1,
Yeah.
and then I think it was Chicago that year, the Chicago event. They ended up getting bumped up to pro, playing with those guys in pro. And then 2019, played the whole season pro. So yeah, it was about 3 years from playing D5 to going to pro.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Kurzawa is a madman for making that drive for so long.
Yeah, I don't know
That's
how he did that.
insanity.
Yeah, a lot of it is by himself too, and
Yeah.
I give him a lot of credit because that is not a fun drive. It's about 10, between 9 and maybe 11 hours depending on traffic and whatnot. It's rough. Then doing that on Friday, coming back to work on Monday is not fun. So he's dude works hard and puts a lot of time in. So
yeah, and it's kind of like ironic now he's closer to Trade My Gun being in Akron. That's probably about 4 hours, maybe less, to the Plex, and now he's playing with the
team on the other side of the country.
Which is like literally he went from the East Coast to the center of America to the center of America to the West Coast.
Yeah. But I probably couldn't say enough good things about him. He's helped me, you know, really like that progression up was largely due to, you know, him helping me out. Like we were doing drills, you know, a couple times a week. He would come out to the field and, you know, I'd just hit him up and he'd come out and we just do drills on random days through the week, on the weekends. But so he put a lot of time and effort coming out, doing drills, helping me out. So he was a big part of kind of where I'm at right now.
Yeah, no, he's great. I always see him online doing drills and stuff like that and just grinding constantly.
Yeah.
Right now, it's like I don't even know where I could get my air tank filled.
I know.
Because I'm only about 15 minutes from Boston Paintball, and it's closed. Everything's closed.
That's crazy.
I might be able to get it filled, but I live in like a small – it's kind of like a townhouse. It's like a triplex.
Yeah.
So I don't have like a backyard where I could even shoot my gun, and none of the fields are open here, so I can't shoot it anyway.
Right.
What's Indiana like right now?
Weather-wise, it's actually not too bad. The weather's been picking up, so I'm finally done with the cold out here. It's been like 50s, 60s, I know. Boston should be picking up pretty soon, though. Usually May's a good time frame.
Yeah. Ironically, I'm actually going to Cleveland next week just because we've been in lockdown. I've been here for about 7 weeks, not really leaving my house much.
Yeah.
But Ohio is opening up some of their regulations, so me and my girlfriend are going to drive in Friday and Saturday. So I'm not doing a 12-hour drive in one shot. I have before.
No way.
So from Boston to Cleveland is 10 hours, and I've done it in one day.
Yeah.
But we're going to leave Friday tomorrow after work and then get a hotel in like Syracuse. I think we got an Airbnb or something. It's like 5 hours, and then we'll do the rest in the morning. Because like we're going to go golfing and stuff because things are open there. But here in Boston, they just extended the lockdown another month.
Yeah, I went golfing like a week or two ago. Some of the courses are open. But like most of the things that you think are closed, like gyms and the traditional stuff that you'd probably expect to be closed is closed, but grocery stores, pharmacies, all that stuff's open.
Yeah. That's good, I guess. So have you guys extended your lockdown in Indy? Like, are you close to the city at all? Or are you kind of in a rural part of the state?
No, I'm probably like 10 minutes from downtown. So I just
live
kind of on the outskirts.
Sweet.
Yeah. I'm pretty much right in Indy. So yeah, I don't really know what the status is for the lockdown. I think I saw some news about potentially extending it through May, but I know people are going crazy.
Yeah, people are losing their minds. As somebody who's like worked in, you know, I know like the military, works for a huge company like Amazon, who's having to go through this, what's your view on the situation? How do you kind of see it? Do you think it's the right thing to do, wrong thing to do?
Yeah, I mean, I know it's probably maybe an unpopular opinion, but I think just lockdown, just get the stuff over with, you know. I know, especially, you know, coming from, you know, the American standpoint, everybody wants this is America. We're going to do what we want. We'll get through it. We'll push through it anyway.
Yeah.
But you see some of these other countries that, you know, got crushed by it, you know, Italy and a few of the other countries and even China, like they just locked everything down a few weeks and, you know, they kind of just pushed right through it. And, you know, it kind of probably sucked for a couple of weeks, but, you know, it's probably better than kind of leaving some things open. And you see people in California going to beaches and Florida going to beaches and, you know, it's why you just suck it up for 2 weeks and get over and then trying to, you know, keep things open. And I don't know, we're Americans, so we'll get through it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. So Trade My Gun, it's, you guys have had kind of, you know, an up and down season. I know when you first came onto the pro team, you made, you know, a huge impact. You guys were winning matches, looked really strong. This last event, didn't go your guys' way. What are you guys kind of looking at? If we have a rest of the season are you guys like changing your structure or anything, or like how are you guys trying to plan going forward for the rest of the year?
Yeah. So like even like beginning of this year, even throughout last year, like there's been a lot of like rebuilding of the team. We're bringing new people on. And I think this year's obviously this first event didn't really go as planned. Wouldn't have been nice to do a little better, but we had a lot of close games. I mean, we lost to Revero by basically 1 point, got a bad penalty on, basically on our, like on our 6-6, we got a bad penalty on one of our points. Probably could have won that match. And even with Ironman, I think we were up 4-0 against Ironman and just dropped the ball. But yeah, going forward, like we've been putting a lot of practice out there. I know we're getting stuff together. I think we have a practice coming up this weekend, actually. So we're getting as many guys as we can out, calling up some guys that are local. Getting in scrimmages. Yeah, so we've definitely been ramping up our practices, getting drills in. I'm just really focused on the things that are going to matter the most when it comes to events and the things that we're kind of lacking in. But yeah, roster-wise, I think we got a pretty solid roster. I'm happy with who we got. Everybody's playing really well. Just taking that time to get everybody together and get the gun time in and just really developing, you know, the situationals and just getting the team bonding on the field.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same roster as last year, right? It's basically all returning guys.
Yeah. It's pretty similar. Yeah. It's pretty much the exact roster from last year. We picked up one new guy, Chuck Allen. He was out in Denver. He knew, he's played with Dave Weinraub. So he's played with us at the event. Okay. So that's pretty much the only addition, but otherwise, yeah, same roster. Actually, sorry, we picked up
Joe Allen.
Joe
right?
Allen, yeah. Can't forget about Joe. He played phenomenal first event. Coming in there, never played a pro event. He played great.
Yeah, it's funny. We were actually talking about grabbing him too. But we didn't. We have most of our team is back players, so we only had in terms of front players, it's like me, Doeyak, Danny, and Carney. We're like our four kind of front players. So we ended up picking up another front player because we have like six back players on the team. It's like, yeah, we'd love to grab Joe, but like,
yeah,
we just didn't have a need for that role. Right. But I'm glad he found a spot with you guys. Yeah. You know, he's a really good player. He's been around for a while, you know, stand up guy. So
yeah, no, he's a great guy. He played phenomenal at the event. So pretty excited to have him for the year.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, man, that's awesome. So yeah. I guess what are some things you're doing in your spare time to keep busy? Like, I don't know how much you have to have a work-life balance, how many hours you're working on Amazon or anything, but like, what are some other fun things you do to keep busy?
Yeah, Amazon keeps me pretty busy. And so I mean, schedule-wise, it works pretty good because I work Sunday to Wednesday, but I work night shift. So I go into work at 7 p.m. I get off around like 6:30, 7 a.m. So if I need to switch it up, like I can play paintball Saturday, Sunday. Then go to work on Sunday. It's kind of a rough day, but all my off days, you know, I used to go to the gym, but now everything's closed, so just doing some home garage workouts. But otherwise, I'm kind of a nerd. Play a lot of video games.
Oh, what do you play?
I've been playing a lot of Warzone right now. I used to play a lot of Overwatch, and then I got a lot of friends playing Warzone right now, so we've been jumping on with them.
Warzone seems to be the game to play right now. a lot of our team's playing it. Like my roommates, my high school friends are all playing it. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty fun. It's solid. I didn't really like a lot of the battle royale games. I tried Fortnite and I tried PUBG and Apex and I don't know, none of it was really my thing, but for some reason Warzone's a blast. So I've been doing that.
Yeah, I gotta try that again. Are you PC or console?
Yeah, I'm PC, but it's cross platform. So if you got people on PlayStation or Xbox, yeah.
Yeah, it's great because my roommate from Ohio plays it on Xbox. I can play with them on PC. No other games are like that.
No, not many. So it's a pretty cool experience. You got to play with your friends that like you typically couldn't play with. Maybe that's why it's also so much better because you know, I play with a lot of guys that are even on the team. I play with Joe Cho and Corey's also one of the guys that I used to play with in North Carolina and a few of my other friends from North Carolina that I used to play with. So those guys are all on console and typically never got to play with them. So it's cool just playing with those guys at night.
Yeah, 100%, dude. So I guess what's your opinion on just kind of – I like to ask other pro players like – what do you think kind of the NXL, how things are run, the events, the venues, kind of dive into that a little bit being coming up through the divisionals, even though your come up was pretty rapid.
Yeah.
And then playing pro for about 2.5 seasons now. Well, how are you, like, what's your impression of kind of everything and how it's running?
Good question. I mean, coming from like, you know, looking at it, especially the NXL trying to be a professional sports organization, there's definitely probably some, you know, the changes they could improve on. You know, it comes to like scoreboards that don't work and some inconsistent reffing. But otherwise, like, you know, event locations, like I would have never had a problem with event locations. I think everybody's pretty happy with where we go. I think NXL responds to the players pretty well when it comes to event locations and some of the changes that players are recommending. You know, I know they're doing their best to make sure that they provide the best experience they can for players and really do what they can to promote the sport to the level that they want it to be at. Like, you know, they want to push paintball to be, you know, one of those mainstream sports. But like actually like running the events, I really haven't noticed a whole lot of issues, at least from my perspective. You know, I've really just been coming in, you know, I come in, gear up, get on the field, and I don't have, like, you know, I'm not Jeremy, so I don't really deal with a lot of, you know, the management side and dealing with Tom, anybody else. So a lot of that's, you know, above my head. But otherwise, you know, I really don't have a whole lot of issues with the league. I like the format. I know there's always been talks about changing the format to, you know, 7-man or 10-man or whatever it's going to be. I mean, I like the split deck. I like, you know, X-Ball. You know, I like the pace. But maybe that's just me.
No, I agree. I think the X-Ball, the five-man, I don't know, the format we have now seems to be the most entertaining, most fun to play.
Yeah.
And I like what they're doing with the fields right now, where they're making it way more aggressive. Like, you know, that Vegas layout, you know, you have games that were points on points on points. I mean, like, you think about, you know, your games, you lost to the rival guys by one, but that was a 7-6 ball game. Yeah. That's a lot of points.
Yeah.
Whereas if you go back 2 years ago, it's like 3-2 or like 4, right. You know, it's like, that's boring to watch. So
right.
Yeah. I like what they're doing right now with the field layouts. And I think if they can keep that creativity, and I know it's probably hard on I think Trojan Designs fields.
Yeah.
It's hard on him to probably keep that, but with this new modular bunker set, it should be hopefully easier to push the pace of the field.
Yeah, I definitely noticed. It's probably like maybe a year or two ago. You know, obviously we had the wall and things are kind of slow with that. And then they came with this new bunker. Yeah, God, I'm happy that thing's gone.
Same. Terrible.
It was horrible. But yeah, moving this new bunker set, and then like as it came out, the field started slowly getting faster and faster. And I think they're really doing a good job of that. And you know, obviously I enjoy it because I like playing fast and being aggressive. I think it just makes the games more fun just in general, and just more fun to watch, more fun to play, more versatility, more variety, more creativity.
Yeah, 100%. What's it like playing in the organization under Jeremy's coaching? I know Jeremy is, I don't know if controversial figure is the right word. I like Jeremy as a personal level. You know, he does get a little heated in the pits. Yeah. What's it like to play with him and to play with the guys in the organization?
All the guys are great. Everybody, you know, I've been playing with some of these guys. I've been probably for like a year or two now, like obviously on the pro team for a couple of years. Even just knowing them for as I was on the divisional team. So I kind of knew I've known a few of these guys for a while now. And even just in the area. But yeah, definitely you gotta have some balls to play with Jeremy.
Yeah, for sure.
You gotta have a thick skin. You can't be afraid just to get, you know, that's the thing. Like if you mess something up, like you're gonna have to own it. And, you know, he's going to let you know that, like, hey, you know, you did this wrong. And you just got to be able to own that. And if you don't have a thick skin and can't handle that, it's probably not the team for you. It's just kind of the way it is.
Yeah.
But like the one thing I definitely do give him credit is, like, you know, when he talks about what he's going to do and, you know, especially organization, bringing players up, like he sticks to his word of what he's going to do. You know, he's talked, you know, he's brought a bunch of players up through the divisions, you know, I definitely respect. Yeah. You know, I definitely give him a lot of respect and a lot of credit for that. You know, he sticks to his word. You know, and we go hard. You know, we play. You know, we play a lot of points in practice. You know, we try a lot of things. Things don't work. We change things up. We get yelled at in the process.
Yeah.
But I think overall, just, you know, just makes us, you know, stronger players. End up thinking about, hey, you know, we made this mistake, so make sure we fix this. So it's definitely been interesting. But I think we've definitely. Slowly, we've been making some improvements to the team, but this, like I said, it's been a lot of changes to the team throughout the last couple of years. Now, like, you know, a lot of teams have like really consistent rosters for years and years.
Yeah.
You know, some of these guys have been playing together for 10, 15 years, you know, and this, and us, we've been playing together for about 2 years at this point, not even maybe a year, like actually the same roster. So, you know, he's just been doing his best to make sure to keep the best group of guys he can together and make sure he's doing everything he can to support them and make sure that we're, you know, we have what we need to make sure we can be successful.
Yeah. I mean, I know that there's like bigger budget teams than the Outlaws. I know everyone in the Outlaws, kind of how the system works a bit. But I think it's not a bad system. I know like when I met you, we were both trying out, this is when Asylum folded, we were both trying out for the pro team. And then we both made, I guess, a semi-pro team. Right. You went with the Outlaws and I went with the drop zone guys just because my mentality was like, well, if I'm going to stay playing semi-pro, I'm just going to play with my friends.
Yeah, might as well.
Yeah, and the Outlaws were your friends because you'd already known those dudes. So kind of split there. But, I mean, we've always been friendly, so it's always good. And I know we talked to you to try and set some stuff up before the season happened just because you're the only other pro team even close to us at level. So
yeah, I don't know how far Aftermath from you.
Where are they based out of? Are they? I don't know where their home field is. So
yeah, I don't know if they're Breakout anymore. I'm not sure exactly where they're. I know that most of their players are Midwest at this point.
Yeah,
I think they might be out of Breakout.
Okay, that's in Chicago, right?
Yeah, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure they're out of Breakout.
They would be farther than you guys because we would drive past Indiana to go to Chicago.
Right. Yeah.
Right past the Plex. Yeah, the Plex is a great facility. I've been there many times.
Yeah, I think we're getting a practice in this weekend, so should be opening back up. Finally get some gun time. So.
Oh, that's awesome. Is it like, I guess, quote unquote, legal to practice there now?
Yeah, it should be. Yeah, should be opening up. So.
Nice.
Get out there.
I know some of our guys are playing this weekend with some of the Heat guys because about three of the Heat guys, and then Tim Montressor all live in Pittsburgh. And Pennsylvania just opened up like parks or whatever so they can have 15 people at P3 paintball. But only five of our guys can go because there's going to be five Heat guys there, and then the P3 team with five guys, I guess. Yeah. They're still limiting the amount of people that can go. So I won't be there, but some of our guys will be out there.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah.
As long as everybody's getting their gun time in, that's kind of what counts right now. We don't even know when the next event's going to be at this point.
Yeah, Dan, I know I was listening to the Infamous Live. I don't know if you caught it or not, but the Infamous Live with Tom Cole, they were saying there's an 80% chance that the next event, which is the Virginia Beach, which is like over a month away, is also going to be canceled already. So they might not, you know, people are joking. It's like, oh, the Ironman won the series. Yeah. There's no more events for 2020. Like,
but like kind of seriously.
Yeah. So I was thinking about this. What if there were no more events for 2020? I would imagine they would not relegate anybody and not bring up any semi-pro teams because there's just not enough events. Like they would just probably start all over.
Yeah. You know? What I've been hearing, they're not going to relegate teams, any teams this year. Just not fair. The teams that are playing right now based on, you know, even a max three events at this point to relegate teams based off that. So
that's what I thought as well. I haven't heard that. That's just what I was thinking.
Yeah, it's rumor mill stuff is kind of what I've been hearing.
It makes sense.
It's just not fair to teams.
Yeah, especially, I mean, level. We paid for a whole pro season, and we're only going to get one event, dude. We bought five.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But
you guys looked great that first event.
Oh, thanks, man.
I don't know if you had any comments on, you know, how you felt coming into the division and thoughts on the team and you guys' mentality.
Yeah, I mean, coming in, we were obviously getting a lot of hate.
Yeah,
there was a lot of support, but the haters are pretty loud. but our mentality is to just try to be 15th place or better. That's the goal we set for the year. We're like, if we can not be last, if we can just be 15th or better, it'll be a successful season. Which is crazy to think. It's like, you know, when you're in semi-pro, you're like, all right, we're trying to win these events. We're going for first place. Now we're like, all right, if we cannot be last, like, that's how good the pros are. It's just, I don't know. It's just crazy. I mean, cause you look at the margin of error with, like, you know, your games, Uprising's games, our games, like the difference between us and the top teams, it was just a couple of points here or there. And then, except for us against AC, they smoked the shit out of us.
Yeah.
But with some of these other teams, it was like Infamous, we took to overtime. Dynasty, we were winning at one point, and then we lost like a 2-on-2. And then, you know, Dynasty ran away with it. And they were able to beat Aftermath. And it's like, you guys, you know, took Revo the distance. You're taking teams the distance, but it's like the smallest thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Decides the match.
Yeah, it was interesting coming in because, like, you know, it's a lot of us, you know, when you think of, like, you know, low ranked teams, especially like us, and, you know, you guys come in and you're like, oh, there's no way you guys, you know, you guys play Heat or, you know, X Factor or Dynasty or Russians and, like, or Impact, and, like, these guys are just gonna get smoked off. But, like, you know, we've had many matches where we've lost to Russians by like a point or two. We've been up on points against Heat, lost to them by like a point or two, and like you said, it's really just like those couple small decisions that make or break those one or two points that really change the game. And that is kind of the thing that separates those top teams from those, you know, the lower ranked teams, is just those small decisions that end up getting made during the game that just change those one or two points. And that's the thing, going back, we're talking about Jeremy, the things that we're trying to change this year is that those small decisions that, you know, could have, you know, there's 2 points that we made one bad decision or one bad decision each point that could have been two extra wins on the board for us, two extra points on the board for us. That, you know, could have put us at a, you know, 4-3 instead of a, you know, 5-3 loss or 3-5 loss. And those are small things that just make the difference. And that really, that's really what we're focusing on this year, is just because we, like I said, we've had those close games, and yeah, you know how it feels like, is having those super close games against these teams. And it's just like, man, if we just did this one small thing differently, this could have been, you know, playing against Revo, it could have been a 6-7 game in our favor.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if we're playing against, you know, Ironman, like, you know, instead of going up 4-0 and then coming down, like losing like 8 points in a row, you know, we could have just, you know, there's a couple, two small things, making some small changes on the break. You know, we could just close that game out 6-0, or even just, you know, won that game, you know, it's 4-3. Those are just those small things.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's tough when you're like, one of kind of the newer teams coming up, and you're seeing success,
right,
and things are working, but then they can quickly turn to not working, and it's like, damn, what did we do wrong here? Like,
right.
Is, and how do we fix it, kind of thing. We're fortunate to have Robbie Goldsmith come in, who's able to help us a lot on the coaching aspect. I don't think we would have done quite as well as we did without him, so that's always a good thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I'm excited to see if we get a rest of the year. I'm saving a lot of money right now not playing paintball.
Oh, it feels good. Yeah, I know. I'm checking my bank account every day. I'm like, man, this is a lot bigger than it used to be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's wild, dude. I mean, so what's your flying situation? Where do you – how do you travel and stuff like that? What's your go-to airline stuff?
Go-to airline?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I have a go-to one. Whatever's cheapest.
Oh, really?
Basically, yeah. Whenever I'm looking at tickets, whatever's cheapest. Honestly, Frontier a lot. Frontier's okay. Pretty great.
Yeah, they're a big out of like the Midwest, Cleveland, Indiana, big airline there.
Yeah, you can get a lot of cheap flights, especially like the Cup or other places for like, you know, $100 round trip. You know, quality's not the best, but you get there and it's cheap.
They charge you for water.
Yeah, right. They charge you for water if your bags are like, you end up paying all that in bag fees. But yeah, I don't really have. I don't know if I ever preferred airline, unless whatever, pretty much whatever's cheap.
Yeah, gotcha. You should look into getting like an airline card, and it'll save you money in the long run. I think, because I got the JetBlue one. I get free bags, so like I don't have to worry about, you know, paying for bags. And you get free flights. You get mileage crewing.
Yeah, it's just something I never thought of. I have one of my guys on the team. Every time he's booking flights, like, hey, just pay me. Just book Southwest and pay me. So he just goes to his Southwest, says West Points. I'm like, I should probably just be doing this myself. But I just never got around to doing it.
Oh, man. It's never too late to start, especially if you plan on flying a lot, man.
Yeah.
Do you guys – I know you've gone down to Texas a lot. Do you guys travel to practice a lot, or what's your kind of preferred method there?
Yeah, we've been – so starting last year, we really tried to – start getting into travel practices, going down, playing teams that are definitely above our caliber. Just getting in those good, solid practices really just help develop us as a team. So that was definitely something we were talking about last year. It's like, hey, we're going to, you know, as long as we can, get like one travel practice in every event. Depending on where the event is, typically Chicago, we'll just stay at the Plex because the event's right there.
Yeah.
But sometimes teams come to us. But otherwise, yeah, we try to go wherever we can. I know we practiced. We practiced AC Dallas last year. We flew to NYX. We played them. And then I think for Chicago, Russians and Impact came out to the Plex. So we got lucky, super lucky with that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, yeah, we've definitely been trying to travel as much as we can. And it really makes a big difference when you go out, you know, to practice those teams. And it just helps so much.
Yeah. And just getting different looks, different styles of play. Because I feel like every section of the country has a different style of paintball.
So oh, yeah.
When you're traveling to these top teams, it's like, I think one of the harder parts about coming up in the divisions is when you're in the lower divisions, D3 and D4, you can really just practice at any local field because the caliber of player is like the average, you know, D3 to D4. Once you kind of have eclipsed the good side of D2, though, you need to either be at a field where there's a pro team, so other quality teams are going to come to you, or be willing to travel, even in semi-pro. You know, we were driving to Revo and stuff, because the number of top teams is shrinking. So, you know, there's only 20 pro teams in the country. One of them is in Russia, so that leaves. And then, you know, Impact, who I guess is in Canada, they're kind of all over. Yeah. But so that leaves a small pool of very good teams in the country that you can practice against to improve. And like some of those teams, you know, they like the X Factors of the world, Damage, Dynasty, like they don't have to travel. Teams have to come to them because they're at the top of the food chain.
Right.
So the bottom tier, there's a lot more cost involved, I think, in trying to get to the top tier because you have to not only travel to these teams, but you know, you're spending all that money doing that. So the time, the travel, all that extra to try and bridge the gap.
Yeah, it's just the thing you got to do, especially if you guys want to, you know, if you want to, you know, improve, you just got to, you know, put in that time investment, that money investment, and you know, it's got to go somewhere and hit these teams up and get that practice in. Like I said, it makes such a big difference just getting that in there.
Yeah, it's 100%. We were lucky to play NYX and the new NRG team.
Yeah, how'd you guys practice go with them? I remember you guys heard you guys went out there.
Yeah, it was good. It was a three team rotation. There were five teams total, so it was us, NYX, and NRG as the pro teams, and then there were two semi pro teams there. It was a team from Maryland who ended up getting like third or fourth in Vegas, which looked pretty good on them, and then the NRG semi-pro team was there as well. It was a pretty good practice. 2 days. That setup down there at NRG is awesome. They had runners for us.
Yeah.
And they would go pick up our pods after the points and like bring them back to us and stuff.
Yeah.
There's a lot to learn. That was really our first pro practice because we've been playing Revo for years.
Yeah.
So that was our first like three team pro practice that we were involved in. But I think it was definitely useful in terms of, you know, the learning experience.
Yeah, no, those guys are phenomenal, the energy guys. Super welcoming. The organization is fantastic. They got a ton of structure. They're just a fantastic team to go and play with, and I'm sure you guys probably shot a ton of paint out there and played a lot of points.
Yeah we did. It was a good time. They fed us lunch. They had somebody come out with like a barbecue thing, and they were grilling chicken and beef and burgers, and it was awesome.
Yeah, playing with them, and then even now I couldn't say enough good things about, you know, their program and everything they got going.
Yeah, so hopefully they can see some success this year. It's basically a revamped Boom team. It's like Boom plus Jared Lackey plus like one or two other guys.
Yeah, just a few energy guys, but they look pretty good too. You know, I think coming in this year, you guys and energy and who else came up? AC Diesel. I know there's a lot of hate going around with all these teams. Honestly, like all these teams look like they belong there. Nobody really just got blown out of the water. So it's pretty cool seeing these teams come up. And really just, you know, hang in with everybody. And it was good. It was good paintball to watch.
Yeah. I think it was a really entertaining event to watch. And I like all the content Go Sports is putting out right now. They're doing a whole bunch of stuff, which I think is helpful during this time. But I think it will kind of go stale if we don't have another tournament this year to look forward to.
Yeah, it's hard. I know Planet Eclipse is putting stuff out there in Go Sports, and like everybody's trying to keep paintball alive. So it's good. The community's – it's cool with the paintball community. Like everybody's coming together and just putting stuff out there, doing this kind of stuff you're doing, all these other podcasts and interviews that are going on, just trying to keep paintball alive. Hopefully fields start opening up soon. Maybe they start opening some regional events. But, yeah, it's tough. But paintball community's real strong. Seems like everybody's kind of banding together to make sure things keep rolling.
Yeah, I think it will. I hope that I know there's going to be like a big economic impact after all this, and the NXL will probably feel that, but I hope that the kind of like the pro and the semi-pro and in the D2, the people that are, you know, trying and grinding really hard right now and grinding at it for a while are able to sustain.
Right.
And then the NXL is able to sustain. Luckily for the NXL, they have millionaire backers like Bart and, you know, Randy Smith. So I hope money won't be a problem, but you never know.
Yeah, I don't think any NXL is going to be going anywhere.
No. Yeah. Well, all right, man. We just knocked out like 43 minutes.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. I haven't done a podcast before, so it's pretty cool. I definitely appreciate the experience.
Yeah, dude. Thanks for coming up.
Yeah.
Anyone you want to thank? Sponsors, people?
If I'm thanking people, you know, definitely Jeremy Somm for, you know, all the opportunities he's provided, you know, me and just the team in general. Definitely have to give a shout out to John Kurzawa kind of for getting me to where I am, and a little bit to the energy guys because they have to help me out a lot as well. And sponsor-wise, you know, all the typical, you know, Dye Paintball, Planet Eclipse, Empire, Rise Custom. Hopefully I'm not forgetting anybody else.
Yeah, right, there's so many.
Good to listen. I know we got some stuff from HK as well. All the gear is fantastic. But yeah, that's kind of it. I don't know if I got anything else.
All right. Right on, man. Well, thanks for listening, folks. Catch you next time.